103.7 WVEI-FM and WVEI-HD1, Westerly Providence. A radio.com station. Trending now. Now, the WEEI Trending Now.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Take a deep breath.
My headphones came unplugged here, and I dropped my reading glasses.
Go ahead.
I'm a freaking mess. It's divisional playoff round in the National Football League, and today at 4:35, the first game to kick off will be in the AFC at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. It's the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Indianapolis Colts. That game will be televised on NBC. At 8:15 tonight on Fox, the Dallas Cowboys visit the Los Angeles Rams. Tomorrow, of course, it'll be the Patriots hosting the Los Angeles Chargers at Gillette Stadium. 1:05 kickoff on CBS. At 4:40 on Fox, Philadelphia visits New Orleans. Other NFL news, ESPN's Jeff Darlington reporting that the Miami Dolphins are set to hire Patriots acting defensive coordinator Brian Flores once the Patriots have been eliminated from the postseason. College basketball, today at noon, the Providence Friars visit the Georgetown Hoyas. It'll be Bryant visiting Sacred Heart at 2. UConn will take on Cincinnati on the road at 8 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, the Rhodey Rams will host George Mason. Monday night, it'll be Brown entertaining Johnson and Wales. NBA tonight, Celtics visit the Magic in Orlando at 7. On the ice, Bruins skate in Toronto also at 7. We'll have that Bees game for you right here on 103.7 FM WEEI beginning at 6:30. I'm Scott Kardashian, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
What you gonna do when Mean Gene-omania runs wild on you, brother?
Now, it's time for Southern New England Sports Saturday.
Macho Man, Scotty C, putting Scotty P.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
It's tougher and tougher, but as hip as you two.
Thank you for mentioning Sugar Hill.
Now, the macaroni saga, the peas are mushed, and the chicken tastes like
wood. I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm not going
to
insult.
Thought you were going to say it's getting tougher and tougher to listen to this show.
AFC, he is dead last.
What?
I'd rather have Philip Rivers. I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes. I'd rather have Andrew Luck right now than Tom Brady.
I'm in there as agile as I used to be.
Don't take things personal.
You bet I get by.
And then I want it again. And then I want it again.
Don't kill a good thing here.
Not bad for a bunch of old men that can't play no more.
I'm going to need a priest and a bullhorn.
Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
All right, welcome back. Hour number two of Southern New England Sports Saturday on WEEI.
So what happened there during the trending
now? So I hear Joe say 30 seconds, and I never panic when he says 30 seconds because I literally put on my headphones and my readers just to do the trending now at the top of each hour, like with 10 seconds to go. Well, with 10 seconds to go, I look and my headphones are all wrapped around the arm of my chair, and I can't figure out how to get them unwrapped. I'm like, oh, crap. And as I bend down to unwrap them around the arm of my chair, my reading glasses go flying off underneath the console, and I'm like, oh, crap.
This is why we need a live stream.
Yeah.
So I looked over at him. I'm like, what's going on, Scott? Yikes.
Yeah, that was a hot mess.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. Saturday morning.
Do we call a priest?
Yeah.
Maybe a bullhorn?
Bullhorn. Yeah, there you go. It sounded like, did you watch Meet the Millers this week?
I did not have a chance.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry.
All right.
I will.
Because you quoted a line, and I didn't know. Watched it this week.
No, not yet. Not yet. I watched a lot of sports this week, actually.
Right. Well, coming up this hour, we will talk a little bit later on about the Patriots with WEEI's Ryan Hannibal. He'll join us at 8:45. But in the meantime, we'll open up the phone lines for all of our listeners to jump on board at 401-737-1287, or you can send us your text as well. We get a lot of texts on the text line at 37937. We'll go back to the call. Say hello to Mark in Connecticut. Mark, you're next up this morning on Southern New England Sports Saturday.
How are we doing, guys?
Hi, Mark. What's happening?
Hey, so I'm a Dolphins fan. Just found out about the Brian Flores hire.
Yeah.
What can I expect from him?
You know, it's kind of tough to pinpoint because he really hasn't. He's been in the Pats organization, but he was sort of going through the whole transition of Bill makes him the play caller on defense, and then if he was to stay, he would have been the defensive coordinator and earned the title next year. Like, he was sort of going through the Bill Belichick school of coaching sort of thing. So I think it's very, I think Tommy Curran wrote this at NBC Sports Boston. Like, it's early for him to get a head coaching job, but what I can tell you is that the players in that locker room for the Patriots
really like Brian Flores and respect him. They really like playing for him. So that's a, I mean, that's a good sign. That would be my first thing.
I just don't want a Vance Joseph kind of situation where he bombs and then we fire him and then the Dolphins are looking for another coach.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I like the thought. It's definitely against the trend. Like, I'll say this, Mark, like the trend right now in the NFL is hire the young wizard on offense. Like, the Arizona Cardinals go out and get Cliff Kingsbury, who has zero head coaching experience in the NFL, zero coaching experience, period, in the NFL, and just got fired from Texas Tech. Like, that to me was like, oh boy, you know, I get it, but it's against the trend, and I think that's probably, I think it's a good thing, because it's not like the Dolphins are just going along with what everybody else
is doing.
So,
Mark, I don't know if you heard what I said last hour, but you know, I can understand how the hiring of Brian Flores wouldn't really excite the fan base of any team, just because it's the element of the unknown. No head coaching experience, so you really don't know what to expect. It's not like he's been a big-name coordinator in the game for a long time. He technically doesn't right. even hold the title of defensive coordinator, even though he calls the plays defensively for the Patriots. So I get the fact that there is some, maybe some reservations there if you're a Miami fan. I also said this was from Florio on WEEI yesterday. The rumor is that the Dolphins have their eyes on either one of the Harbaugh brothers, John with the Baltimore Ravens or Jim with the Michigan Wolverines. And they're hoping that, you know, if not this year, next year, the following year, that one of those guys becomes available. So Florio thinks that maybe Flores is a guy that might be keeping the seat warm for maybe a guy that they really have an interest in. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just reporting what I have heard. So I don't know if you have heard that yourself and how you feel about that, if that is indeed the case.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of dirty. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a guy's job. I don't want him to be treated like Wilkes, where, you know, they let him sit there 1 year, he tanks, then they just throw him to the curb. That's not fair to a person either. So,
well, do you think your Dolphins right now are in a quote-unquote rebuilding mode, for instance? Do you think they're going to bring Tannehill back? Do you think they're going to press the reset button? Is this going to be a lean 2-3 years for Miami?
Right, right.
How do you feel about the state of the franchise, where they are now and where they're heading the next few years?
I just hope that the new general manager Greer there, he gets rid of Tannehill. But if they bring in you know, Flores, they give him a couple years to build. You can't just expect them to turn this team around in 1 year. They have so many holes on defense. They have plenty of holes on offense. So I just, whoever comes in, I hope they give him a chance to actually build something, as opposed to just hoping that we're in the playoffs next year, which I don't see happening.
Right. Right, yeah, and that could be a good thing with the hiring of a guy like Flores, who doesn't have, who's sort of still on the up and up in terms of his coaching experience. You're rebuilding a team; he's building up his, you know, resume and his experience with coaching. So it might not be a bad fit in that regard.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Sure.
And, hey, well, hopefully the Patriots do good tomorrow, guys.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate
it. Thanks for the phone call,
appreciate
Mark.
It.
All right, 401-737-1287, the phone number.
Yeah,
text line is 37937.
Too many times in sports, I'm glad he's pointed out Steve Wilkes, because I think that's a good comparison. Wilkes was sort of still building up his coaching experience, too, and he lasts 1 year in Arizona, and then they kick him to the curb. And I get it, but at the same time, there's so many times in sports these days where you hire somebody, and then you fire him after a year or two, whatever. Can't do that. Sometimes it takes time. People don't have patience anymore, especially with colleges. It's worse in college. Pros, I get it, whatever. The colleges, you know, you have to give a coach a few years to see what he's like, especially with, like, recruiting, that sort of thing.
I agree with you. I think Wilkes, I think that was unfair. I mean, one and done, that's, talk about not giving a guy time to do anything.
Yeah.
Unless you honestly feel like he's just not cut out for the job. It's like, why waste any more time on a guy? I don't know. I'm assuming that's how they felt. Why else would you make that move?
But then they go out and they hire Kingsbury, who
has zero experience. Look, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. That's what they're looking for.
The one that really made me scratch my head. I get it with Kingsbury. He's a hot commodity. It's a hot name. You know, they like what they see there. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to get ahead of it. Whatever. The one that really makes me scratch my head right now, Green Bay going out and hiring Matt LaFleur. Who really?
I don't know. I know he's done a decent job with the Titans, I guess, but I don't know. It really felt to me like McDaniels was a lead candidate. I thought McDaniels would be a real serious consideration there, really, because I think him and Rodgers toward the tail end of his career, you know, if McDaniels is going to have to wait around a few more years here, might have been really the spot for him to land. And obviously that didn't happen. And, you know, right now I'm looking at it and I'm saying I think Josh is the next head coach of the New England Patriots. I really do. You know, whenever Bill hangs him up, I think now I think he's here. He's here next year, obviously. And then I don't know how much longer Belichick has, but, you know, if it's 2-3 more years, that sort of thing,
yeah,
why not? If you're Josh, you're waiting. You're well, waiting, McDaniels, and you know this organization.
McDaniel's name was out there attached to Green Bay and Cleveland. Yeah. And, you know, but sometimes these teams maybe don't want to wait either.
He said Cleveland never reached out to him, though.
They didn't. They didn't. But mm-hmm. The word out of Cleveland was maybe they were sitting back and waiting.
Sure.
And then, you know, they didn't want anything to get out. But clearly Cleveland decided that you know, they were going to go with Freddie Kitchens and – it is what it is. I mean, maybe they were doing that just because Baker Mayfield was comfortable with him and they felt like, okay, that was just a natural thing to do.
I'll say this about the coaching hirings in the NFL. I'm glad that a lot of teams are either thinking outside the box or they're not going for retreads. Like, the one criticism I have of a coaching hire right now is the New York Jets.
Well, see, I don't. Now, I actually think when Miami hired Adam Gase, didn't know a lot about him, but I actually think there's something there with Adam Gase.
Okay.
I don't think he was horrible in Miami. And look, I think if he hires Greg Williams to be his defensive coordinator, I think that'll be a decent coaching staff.
I think it's decent. It's just the way that the Jets went about it, because from what was reported, they had another person in mind, another guy in mind, and they told this other guy that there was their top candidate. I can't remember what his name was, that we're going to hire
McCarthy.
It was another guy. It was another guy. And they said, we're going to hire your coaching staff for you. I think it was a young guy. And he was like, well, then I'm not taking the job. You're not going to force a coaching staff on me. And so then they were like, okay, you know what? Adam Gase.
Todd Monken, you know, the Buccaneers offensive coordinator.
Maybe. It was somebody that they had in mind, and I think it was the New York Daily News that wrote something, and I'm like, this organization, man. I mean, you know, I'm glad that teams are thinking outside the box, and the reason I say that is because the NFL has a coaching problem, and they really need to find more good coaches to lead some of these teams.
I think the trend is they're looking for the next McVay, right?
Sure.
With what he's done, that young coach full of energy with a great offensive mind that can work with a quarterback and mold him into a real good player.
Yeah.
That's why I think Arizona went with Kingsbury. I think that's what, generally speaking, and these things are cyclical, that's right now what teams are looking for when hiring a new head coach, preferably.
And I'm okay with them hiring new guys, new names, new faces, instead of, you know, somebody saying, hey, let's interview Jim Caldwell and let's hire him.
Right.
Like, or hey, Jeff Fisher doesn't have a job. Let's go hire Mr. 8-8, 9-7, Jeff Fisher. It's like, ew.
I think Bruce Arians is intriguing in Tampa. I mean, he did well in Arizona.
That's different because I think he did well in his previous job. Yep. It's just like Jim Caldwell or guys like that. It's like, let's not go there again. It seems like there's always just been a hop of some of these names to different places. You know, I'm glad that they're thinking outside the box a little bit.
I heard this comparison this week, to get off the coaching talk for a second.
Yes.
And when I heard it, I'm like, no way. You're kidding me. I don't buy it at all.
Okay.
Yet, you know, when you look at the numbers, they're not that different. When you look at their postseason success or lack thereof,
mm-hmm.
it's not that different. But I feel so differently about these two guys, it's not even funny. The comparison I heard made this week was, Phillip Rivers, to me, is very similar to Dan Marino. And I was like, what? And they said, Rivers is a sure shot Hall of Famer, you know, very similar to Dan. And I started to think, I'm like, no, I do not hold those two in the same regard, not even close. Now, I understand Marino never won a Super Bowl. He only got to one, and he never won one. But to me, I don't know. I think Dan Marino is one of the all-time greats at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
I don't put Rivers in that category. I think he's very good. I think he's a very good quarterback, has had a very good career. I don't consider him a lock Hall of Famer like whoever it was that I heard say that does. He might eventually make the Hall of Fame. Maybe he's a first ballot guy for all I know. But Phillip Rivers, Dan Marino, do you hold those two in the same regard?
No, I don't. I don't. And I never really got a chance to really watch Dan Marino play in his prime.
And I don't, because of the you look at the numbers, you look at the stature that he had. I mean, yeah, they didn't win a Super Bowl with him, but he was so darn good for so long. And the, you know, those Miami, that was the heyday of the Miami Dolphins. Like, they were good with Dan Marino at quarterback.
And so it, let me give you their just in a nutshell stats.
Go ahead.
So Rivers for 15 seasons has passed for 54,656 yards. Marino in 17 years, 61,361 yards.
Wow.
Rivers, 374 touchdowns, 178 picks. Marino, 420 TDs, 252 picks. In the postseason, very similar. Rivers is 5-5 with 2,300 yards, 11 TDs, 9 interceptions. Marino, 8-10, 4,500 yards, 32 touchdowns, 24 picks. So here's where I separate the two. Rivers is playing in an era where if you don't have a 4,000-yard passing season, you're not considered to have a good year as a quarterback. Marino played in an era when he was regularly passing for over 4,000 yards, and he set an NFL record passing for over 5 when it was not a pass-happy game at the time. It was just starting to trend in that direction, but mainly because of him.
Yes.
So I don't know. I just, to me, Marino's one of the all-time greats, despite his lack of postseason success. But I put that on the fact that the Dolphins didn't have great defenses, nor did they have a great running game while Dan the Man was in Miami. I just don't put these two in the same category, Rivers. And and I'm one of those guys, you know, do something in the playoffs, Philip Rivers, and I guess you could have said the same about Marino, until I view you as an elite NFL quarterback. I put him in the class of very good, or good to very good. I don't put him in the class of great. I reserve that for the Marinos, for the Montanas, for the Bradys, for the Peyton Mannings, for the Elways of the world.
Well, you just said it. Marino helped set a trend of the league going toward, you know, being pass happy. I think that's a great way to put it, because when you set a trend like that, then you're considered one of the greats.
Revolutionizing the game.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what it's all about when you're talking about Hall of Fame. And by the way, Dan Marino helped save Snowflake from Ray Finkel, that crook, and help Ace Ventura restore order in Miami.
Laces out.
Hello. Laces out. Dan. Of course. I love that movie.
401-737-1287 is the phone number.
It takes a lot for me, whenever the Dolphins are here and Dan Marino shows up to the games, it takes a lot for me to just hold it in and not say, that damn Dan Marino laces out.
and let's face it, Rivers has had a lot more talent than Marino when it comes to Tomlinson, Gates, Allen.
Okay, so he's had better running backs. I would argue that Marino had Duper and Clayton, who are two pretty damn good wide receivers.
Okay.
Marino did not have the running game that Phillip Rivers has had.
No way.
I mean, Rivers had LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime was ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
He never had a guy like that.
No, but he's got good wide receiver talent now, which is
he does, and he had Antonio Gates, one of the best tight ends in the history of the National Football League too. Marino never had really a stud or great tight end.
This is what I've started. My Doug, who usually calls the show, Doug in Plymouth, just texted me and said he's starting to feed me Ace Ventura lines. Soccer style kicker, graduated Stetson University, class of 1986. Thank you, Doug. And one hell of a model American.
To the text line, Marino on the L.A. Chargers would make them a favorite to win it all.
I
mean, Marino in his prime?
Sure.
Probably.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. If you had to choose a quarterback right now going in, you know, into a, you know, neutral game, whatever, who would it be? Would it be Rivers or Marino? You know, it's like,
in their primes, I'd take Marino.
Marino.
All day, every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that right there answers some for you, you know.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's go back to the calls. 401-737-1287, the phone number, text line 37937. Tom's in Riverside. Right. Good morning, Tom. You're next on Southern New England Sports Saturday.
Hey, Scott. Good morning. How are you?
Good, Tom. How you doing?
Good, thanks. I got a question for you. Actually, two questions. The first is about broadcasting. I hope you're putting your name in with the Red Sox for that opening, because in my mind, you're the best play-by-play guy I've ever met.
Thank you, Tom.
That's very nice.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, don't blow his head up, though, Tom. No, I'm just kidding. He's very good, Tom. He's very good.
I've sat next to you doing high school lacrosse, and anybody that can do high school lacrosse without knowing any names on the field and pull it off.
That's good, Scotty. That's a good sign, yeah.
But
I can BS with the best of them.
You name it for that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where they go with that. You know.
You know what they need to do, and this is just my humble opinion. New England is too smart for this. You can't get the cookie cutter, hey, Joe Broadcaster. You know what I mean?
No.
That doesn't fly here. It doesn't sell here. We need a guy that we think is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Don Orsillo was real.
Yes.
Right?
But the only with that, though, Scott, that was TV. They're talking radio. You do a great job radio painting a picture that we can't see.
No,
that's what they need.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And to be honest with you, that's why I enjoy radio play-by-play more than TV, because it is the play-by-play guy's job to paint the picture. Radio is the theater of the imagination. And TV, you have to be very selective when you're doing play-by-play about what you're saying, because they can see what's going on, so you don't want to overdo it with your wordiness.
Here's two guys to watch for you, Tom, if you're talking about that job with the Red Sox. There's two guys that do play-by-play for the Pawtucket Red Sox, and Josh Maurer and Will Fleming, two very talented young broadcasters. I think they're both great candidates, and I hope WEEI considers them strongly, because I think they're great guys, they're great candidates. And Will has actually filled in before on WEEI and did a great job with Joe Castiglione. So those are two guys if you're looking for guys to look for.
Oh, I think they should look right in their backyard to the gentleman I'm talking to right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
The other question I have for you. Whose idea is it to pipe in Notre Dame basketball on Saturday afternoons around here?
You know,
great question.
I don't know the answer to that. I know, obviously, that the Friars are no longer on this radio station, so now they carry Notre Dame. And I was scratching my head the first time I heard them on. I don't know that Notre Dame basketball has a huge following here in New England, like, for instance, Notre Dame football does.
Sure.
So I don't know the answer to that. I would have preferred that they pick up Syracuse basketball myself.
Go back to, what's new in the Big East as a pregame show, and then bring in any Big East game, that's got some relevance around what's going on here. Or,
true.
Or switch Brown over to it so we can listen to you. There we go. Another plug for you.
Yeah. Like it. Tom's my agent, by the way.
Yeah,
thank
seriously.
All right. Well, you guys have a great day.
You too.
All
thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the phone call. 401-737-1287. The phone number, text line, is 37937. You're listening to Southern New England Sports Saturday on WEEI.